B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Opinion is a...
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, Tom Brady is in the playoffs. Brady versus Belichick put one in the column for Brady.
Yeah. And I don't know how, I mean, by the way, the ratings for Tampa Bay during their playoff game were enormous. I mean, it sounds like New England has chosen a team to get behind, and the, you know, there was a whole lot of talk as to whether or not you'd be rooting for them or against them. Whatever you're doing, people are watching that game.
Love them or hate them.
Love them or hate them.
But I'll tell you what, he plays those brain games that get him really working at 100%. Mm-hmm. They've been proven to do so. He plays Tetris.
He's got the brain gain apps. It's on there. It's like Candy Crush.
He shovels more
cortex.
Yeah, he shovels more garbage than you could imagine. I mean, there's stuff that works that he could promote, but he won't do it. Like meditating works. You could promote that. You could put out Tom Brady meditation tapes, and then you would have a neurological leg to stand on, but he chooses not to.
That's an interesting game, because right now the spread is Saints by 3 for this weekend.
That's it?
That's it. They got this.
I hope it's just as boring as the Saints Minnesota game or Saints
Chicago
game.
You were watching it on Nickelodeon.
I was for a good portion of it. I was trying to entice my children to watch professional sports.
My kids had no interest. They saw the slime cannons once, and they're like, "Oh, that's fun."
Nope, no interest. Back to
where's YouTube? Yep. Bring that back over here.
Roadblocks and
Roblox. Right.
My daughter plays Roblox, and my son plays Fortnite.
Among Us, Dad. I want to play Among Us.
Okay. My son. I told my son Lockhart here at the show, he plays Fortnite. I said he's good at it, and my son's like, "Yeah, he's probably playing this like BS crap." And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." And then he's like, "Here, give him my information." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what he wants to do. Is play with you, Milo. That's exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah,
you stick with DeBrusque."
They speak in those terms now. It's like, "Dad, you're totally sus." I'm like, "I don't even know what that means."
Well, but Milo's got drip. I mean,
does he?
Oh yeah,
he and Tyler Hero had drip.
That's right.
I got it.
I'm going to stand up for Fred here. You do not compare anybody's son to Tyler Hero.
Well, drip is drip, my friend.
I want him to talk exactly like that. I want him to be from a rural community and talk like he's from Brooklyn in 1984.
John, drip is drip, yo.
That's right. I'm cool, yo.
He's Jack Harlow in disguise with those curly locks. All right, but Tom Brady, we have audio of him speaking.
He's happy as hell, man. I mean, like,
this is his time to shine. If you look at playoff victories, I mean, he's lapping the field. And by the way, did you see the photo? And I like Al Michaels, but he is still restrained by his job. Did you see when they had the picture of George Blanda at 42 and of Tom Brady at 42?
It's so great. It's so great.
Blanda looks like he ate rocks and drank whiskey for every meal. I mean, like, he looks 90.
It's true.
He looks like something that should be in central casting for a prison movie.
If you want to see the rigors of football back when George Blanda played and just the headshots and playing through broken arms, that man aged. I mean, you could have told me George Blanda was 80 in the photo that they showed, and that's when he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in at quarterback, and he looked, and he's Tom Brady. He looks worse than me, way worse than me. And I don't look good, But so Brady's happy, Rich.
Yeah, yeah. He's very happy, and he was mic'd up during this game. And let's take a listen to a little bit of Tom Brady speaking to his teammates on the field during last week's big game.
Decisive all night, all right? Great communication, great poise, man. Got a lot of football, all right? 60 minutes, bar best.
I like how he says decisive, because I've told you about the time that I volunteered at the Boys and Girls Club in Detroit, and there was a young man. We were playing baseball in the gym, wiffle ball in the gym, and he hit a ball over our matted. We had a mat as a fence, and he just turns to me. He goes, "Fred, my home runs are decisive." And I'll never forget that for the rest of my
They've
life.
They've made up their minds as to where they're going.
He goes, "Fred, my home runs are decisive." And I said, "My goodness, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life."
Here we go. 318.
Hey, baby, what's up?
Hey, that's all respect.
How you too, baby?
It's all,
you
all good. To play the game.
It's all good. I know.
All right,
that's,
baby.
That's Chase Young right there. That's Chase Young walking up to him. Go, hey, man, you know.
Yeah, maybe
I'm going to kill you.
Maybe more Aaron Donald. Did you see? I mean, Aaron Donald doesn't seem to be going up and saying hello. Aaron Donald seems like he wants to hurt you.
He takes Ezekiel Elliott with his offhand and tosses him aside like trash.
Yeah, and for as boring as the Saints Chicago game was, you could tell that they were looking to be violent in that game. I don't care for that. I don't care for the like sportsmanlike talk. At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other and want to inflict, especially to Brady.
Yeah, you know what I want? I want Aaron Donald, or I want like Chase Young to be Forrest Whitaker in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, yeah.
I want him to just have kill on his mind the entire time.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't get like why you respect him. Like, save it for after the game. Like, I want you to be in the mindset that you want to kill him. If I was a coach, that would bother me. It bothers me in youth sports. I think that you should be incredibly aggressive and that you should be, for that time period, I mean, you shouldn't be dirty and you should pick a kid up if he falls, but I think that you should be aggressive. I don't think that you should be worried about, moving someone or hurting someone's feelings. But that's me. I'm old school.
Tom Brady's such a good guy. Everyone wants to be his friend.
Yeah,
Fred.
I love his medicine, his concussion juices. And his brain games.
Need his electrolytes.
And his electrolytes and his sunburn water.
All right, boys, here we go. Come on now.
Green 18!
He's dropping deep. Brady throws the ball to the right side. He's got to be open. Antonio Brown, 3-2-1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Way to go, bro. How you like that, baby?
Let's go. I love that.
Let's get another one.
Let's go.
Good job, Big T.
Can you guys think of another person other now that Chase Young is out of the conversation? Another person besides Aaron Darnold, where you're putting yourself in the body of someone who's a professional quarterback? Like, so you're not you. You're someone who's in really good shape and a big guy. Can you think of someone other than Aaron Darnold that you would be like mortified of having to play against?
Ndamukong Suh used to be that guy.
Yeah,
he was that guy.
James Harrison.
James
Harrison.
Call.
He's that guy. Yeah, absolutely, no question. Yeah. Those two. I mean, back when they were at their prime, I mean, how you could walk on that field and see those guys' eyes, and not, especially with Ndamukong Suh being as dirty as he was.
And as big as he was. I mean, he's in as athletic as he was. Because Chase Young is an athletic freak. If you think your kid's going to play defensive end in the NFL, I'll give you Chase Young and show you that he runs like a 4.3 in pads, and he's 230 of 230 of solid muscle.
Everything is heavier than that.
Yeah, he might even be heavier than that. And he runs like a 4.3 in pads. So, But I mean, just out with bad intentions. Every play, bad intentions.
Numbers.
Yeah. Ray Lewis, I was motivated by something else other than blood. I have enough blood in my jacket. Remember? When guy got killed in front of me.
I do remember.
And I got away with it.
Kissing you in the mouth.
And I got away with it. It was glorious. All praise.
By the way, people are saying that you've got the Jets on the mind still because you're calling him Aaron Darnold.
As opposed to what?
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I got Jets on the mind. I'm still very upset at my organization for the way they treated Manish.
Lenny, way to run, bro. Keep it up. Come on. Can't let this guy jump around blocks. That's all he's going to do all day, all right? Let's pound their ass in the run game. It'll turn the whole game around if we do both. Protection's amazing. We just got to do a little better in the run game, all right? Just stick with them a little longer. You know what 99's trying to do. You're hot as f***. You feel it? I'm going to hit that. No penalties. Doing a great job with penalties.
Okay, all right. So at one point, he's talking to Byron Leftwich, who asks him what he wants to run. He goes, I don't care, whatever you want. Let's go. You're hot, baby. You're hot as blank. You feel it? I'm going to hit that blank.
Yeah, there's a lot of homosexual stuff. Between the babies and the... All right, that's what he was talking about. Let's hear it again.
Yeah, okay. I think that's the clip right there because I even wrote it down when I heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All right, here we go.
You know what 99's trying to do. You're hot as... You feel it? I'm going to hit that. No penalties.
Yeah, you're hot as F. You feel that? I'm going to hit that blank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is dialogue from a gay porn. And an aggressive gay porn.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said you wanted them to be aggressive. You said you wanted players to be aggressive.
I did. I want them to talk to their offensive coordinators in a way that is very
sexy.
Brady's
being aggressive. That's what he's just doing what you asked.
Yeah. I mean, he really gets in a very sexual mode there on the field, like an aggressive sexual mode on the field.
Doing a great job with penalties. We need team.
Hand the ball off at Fournette, a stutter step. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Why don't you run green 18 again, you repetitive prick?
Yeah! Way to go, Len!
Yeah. Hey, looks like they released Jocks 4.
Yeah!
All right. Jocks?
What?
Jocks!
You know, if you stay at home for the Super Bowl, there's going to be a bear convention.
Yeah!
All right. You know, Tom, I just realized if you play enough of Dig Dug, you'll never get Alzheimer's.
Yeah!
All right. Thank you.
What'd you say to Byron Leftwich?
I know. You're a big fan.
I just... What? Hello?
Yes, I know.
Whoa! You're gonna do what the hell? I knew someone's getting hot on these sidelines. I know it. I just wanna hit it.
Kind of figured you would, yes.
It's getting so hot on these sidelines. What's a boy to do? What's a man to do? I need to cool off. I need man juice. I think I'm going to cut a hole. First I peep, then I stroke.
Yeah, that's inappropriate, Paul Stanley.
What? Struck my hair.
So you've now moved from the locker room of the L.A. Kids hamper, and you're now hanging out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hamper? Is that what's going on?
I floated.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Anywhere I hear the siren call, I go.
Okay, what is the siren call?
Well, he said that he was calling it sexy.
Okay, right, yes.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
It is so hot on these sidelines in Tampa this time of year.
It's hotter than hell, as a matter of fact.
I gotta tell you what. I only know one thing to put this fire out. Firehouse! I have my red cute hat on. If you not kiss. Mm-hmm. We had a kid-sponsored funny car in real life. Oh. We went all out on the production on this one. Muffle it!
sounds like it's
been played through pillows.
You know what? Can you put the muff sound effect on a little bit more? Just muff the thing.
Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock sounds like it's from the future compared to this.
All right. Very good. We shall return with...
Could I give a big market tease here, Fred, for the next segment?
Oh, sure.
Something. It's going to be a Twitch event as well. It is something you are going to want to see. We have a surprise for one Fred Tutcher coming up in the next segment.
He
is very unaware of this.
It
was just brought to my attention. We will do that next.
It's about time they brought back Fiddler on the Roof to a local production. All right, we will hear all about it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. I don't know what's going on. I'm in the dark. I just sat here.
Well, this was only brought to my attention here in the control room within the last 10 minutes or so, but Chief Engineer Dennis Knudsen is going to join you in the studio. May have a little bit of a background and a story for you.
Oh, well.
We all love Dennis. Know Dennis?
He's carrying a box. That's
I
good.
I know. It's a FedEx box, so I like that. No doubt riches.
Here's Dennis.
Join us on twitch.tv, is it?
Yes, it is twitch.tv, Dan. Thank you for listening to my constant subscribe to 98.5 The Sports up there. Dennis, who you heard awkwardly get his name thrown out one time when we had on Bob Soucy.
Once or twice.
He is the engineer of the broadcast over there. And sometimes the only person who can fix anything.
That's very true.
It's all a conversation until Dennis shows up.
This is embarrassing. I hope I know how to use all the equipment.
Well, so. I'll tell you, it's the pressure. It's pressure packed. All right. What's going on?
Well,
Dennis?
First,
I'm in the dark here.
Thanks for having me on. I don't know a lot of the story behind this, but I had a friend call me. Who works in TV, and he's got a lot of mutual friends who also work in TV. Mm-hmm. And he said, I've got something that I have to get to Fred, but I want to make sure it gets to Fred. He said, I don't want to send it to the station. I want to give it to you and have you deliver it directly to him. So,
okay. Well, what is
to you?
All right.
There is a letter attached to.
Okay. Well, Dennis is handing this to me, so if there's any explosives, you know who to blame.
If there's any explosives, you
box has already been opened.
All right, the box has already been opened. I have the box. It is a metal plate wrapped in plastic. I am removing the... It is Everybody Likes Popsicles Frozen Suckers.
From what I've been told, that is the actual sign from the Dan Patrick Studio. This is not a replica. I have been told by my sources, the one that you have so mercilessly mocked.
Popsicles!
And you said it. You wish you had it. And if you had it, you would hang it up in our studio. And Fred, someone, that man, his name is Dennis, has made your dream come true.
It's got so much manliness all over it. Let me read the letter that is accompanied to this. It is, I can just smell Sandler's ass on it. Hey, Fred, a couple of friends used to work for the Dan Patrick Show. When they redesigned the studio, they let the crew take any junk that they were not going to need anymore. I reached out to John
Cosmo, a
camera op, to wish he and the family well before Christmas. I asked if he and his son were still with Dan Patrick and joked about a local radio host making fun of the popsicle sign. He said his son, Ian, another camera op, took that. He sent it to me, and I'm passing it on to you. I hope it's pride. I hope it is pride of place in your man cave. Be well, Sean. It was not. Here's a fact about the popsicle sign.
Okay, let's hear.
It was not the word popsicle, Rich. No. That on the sign. It was the frozen suckers. Studio was so cold for the crew, and they didn't know their future. Or if the show would survive. So you get it? Frozen suckers. Because they were suckers. Because who knew the Dan Patrick Show would last with the name Dan Patrick? I mean, it was a real crapshoot for all of them. But Dennis, I have to thank you. This is amazing.
So that was delivered. So Cosmo was the camera guy who worked on the show. Well, and Sean Jensen is a local director slash producer slash camera guy that I've worked with for years.
Well, Sean Jensen, you are the cream of the crop, my friend. Thank you so much. And Dennis, thank you.
You're putting that right next to the Saved by the Bell thing right in front of you?
Well, if you don't think this is going up everywhere. Yeah.
Do you want that hung in the studio or do you want to put it in front of your board? You tell me what you want to do and I'll make sure it gets taken.
Oh, there you go.
Tattooed on his forehead.
Yeah, I'm going to wear it like Flavor Flav. Dennis, we'll think about it. I mean, because maybe we should hang up popsicles. Because after all, it was cold in the studio, and they didn't know if the show was going to last. So after all, they were frozen suckers.
Yeah. Point.
You get it?
That's what we are, a bunch of frozen suckers, you know?
If someone was reading Mad Magazine in 1952.
Good stuff, Dennis.
But Dennis, thank you. This is amazing. I mean, this is really amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sean Jensen, for getting this to me.
Yeah, Sean Jensen, thank you so much. And Dennis, thank you.
All right.
I will, in the break, I will take a picture of it. I'll put it up at Fred Toucher. I tell you, the things keep rolling in. I do enjoy getting things. And if it's the right thing, maybe you get on Instagram and we have some fun. Thanks, thank you, Dennis. All right, your pot. I've already put your pot down.
All right, that's pretty fantastic that they were able to raid that from the studio and someone knew to keep that and give it directly to you.
That is fantastic. I think the idea of the term man cave is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I read about the Dan Patrick Show, they would be like, it's just a bunch of bros hanging out, and you know they got to design the cave of their dreams. And there's it would be cool to have a golf simulator and everything. But then there was
next to the wall of inspiration.
Yeah, the wall of inspiration was what?
A bunch of swimsuit model pictures on the wall.
That's right.
Ooh, la, la, la,
and that was right next to the basket mounted onto the wall. Yeah.
And so that whole concept was really stupid and to me. And then I saw the sign that said Bobsicles, and I was just like, what cave is complete without a sign that just says, guys, it's time to kick back and cool off. Mm-hmm. It's a little hot in here. It's time to slow down with a nice, cool, frozen treat. So there you go, the actual Bobsicle signs. I mean, I can smell every guest that they've had in.
Should we just have like a man cave corner, like our nice little stereotypical
like
man
Adolfo's
cave
nook where he got to take naps during the afternoon show?
Sure. Except ours should have like shrunken heads and like.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of cool stuff that people
Grateful
have sent.
Dead sticker.
No, I don't. I won't take it. I don't want anything that people gave money to. But yeah, I mean, I get the. We're building up a nice collection of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing is that I think the midday show did something with Jim Louth's office, which was kind of like you know, make fill it up. If we did it, it would have to be like Dungeon Master's guides, and it would have to be, you know, things that
like the Saved by the Bell card, like comic book isn't. I mean, it's not. I mean, it was a thoughtful thing, but it's not like, you know, something that like you would put in the cave.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean, we do have things that we have a Frank Stallone record that someone sent us. I mean, we do have some things. So yeah, that's right. Or Frank Stallion, as Nick came in, he goes, "Here are the records. You got a Prince. You got a Frank Stallion. Wait, what? Frank Stallion, right here.
All right.
No, it says Frank Stallone. Oh, yeah. Nick's not literate. Very." And when he gets to telling you a tale, woo wee, he takes a deep breath because he's like aggravated that he has to tell you something.
Other people be damned, even if you're in another conversation.
Oh yeah, he'll jump right in there. But he goes, he's one of these guys that goes like,
he's winding up.
Yeah,
I got it.
Like the wheel of his mind is going, all right, here we go, Nick.
It's that Price is Right wheel. You have to spin.
I look at it as the Flintstones car.
Where his
feet just start going. And all right, here we go.
Okay.
All right, we're getting going. Nick's thinking. It's coming out sooner or later. Ah, Nick, you're thinking. You got a great poker for you. All right, JP, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, you know, Brady Lefkowitz, we're talking like Maverick and Goose volleyball scene here with, let's hear it for the boys, Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
To that point.
Yeah, I don't know if we have it isolated, but the audio of Tom Brady and Byron Lefkowitz, they do sound very much like they could be going to a top off jeans on volleyball party. And there is a new Top Gun coming out.
Oh, and it looks great. Like, it legitimately looks great. And it was supposed to be out this past summer.
Yeah. So it's done. There's a bunch of crap that they're doing over again.
Well this one, I guess.
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. But
with Paulie Rudd?
Yeah. The Top Gun one, I guess, was filmed with this brand new camera, and it was made like specifically to see an IMAX and to sell gigantic home televisions. You know, it's like, I remember when the first Top Gun came out, you're like a little kid, like every store like had Top Gun playing. And then, yep. You know, years later it was like, ooh, Avatar. And then, you know, this is the movie made to sell gigantic televisions for your home, apparently.
Yeah, well, I'll see it. But one thing that's coming out, because they're remaking everything. They can't, they're packaging it up and spitting it out. There's stuff like The Many Saints of Newark, which if people say it's good, I'll go see. But
that's the Sopranos prequel.
Yes,
yeah.
And I like The Sopranos, so I'd go see that. But they're making Coming to America and Coming to. It's number two, America.
Isn't it out? It's you can
March
watch 5th. It right now.
March 5th.
For some reason,
on
I thought
Amazon
it didn't come
Studios.
Out. Okay.
And I got to say, as big an Eddie Murphy fan as I am, Coming to America is. The main characters in it are not funny. The when they put the makeup on, it's funny. But what are we talking there? 5 minutes of movie?
Well, in the barbershop.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I mean, are we excited about this? Are we excited about this Coming to America, the second one? I don't think so.
You know what is an underrated Eddie Murphy movie? Bowfinger.
Yes.
Bowfinger is one of those that I didn't expect anything out of it.
Is that where he's the nerd with the braces?
Yes, that's it.
Yes. Martin's trying to make a movie without any kind of licensing or rights out of nowhere. That's a good movie.
Well, I mean, I've been watching these old Saturday Night Lives. I mean, Eddie Murphy is fantastic, but we're going to pretend now that we liked Coming to America. I mean, Coming to America, what is next, The Golden Child? We're going to say that was good. That was on the other day, and oof. I couldn't get through the first. It's just him. They're like, hey, vamp around L.A. for the first 15 minutes of the movie. The 80s loved the introducing you to the town. Like, they would say at the first 15 minutes of a movie, even like Trading Places, which is a good movie and stands up. I watched over Thanksgiving with my children. There's a lot of nudity that you don't remember. But it's like Philadelphia, and it's just Philadelphia. And watching it with kids, to me, it wouldn't matter. But kids' attention spans are so short.
Oh, yeah. Things move so slow.
I mean,
now, yeah.
But the establishing shots that they give, I mean, that's a good 10, 15 minutes of a movie. It's a lot. And by the way, one more thing. I'd like to have someone on involved in it, but the Tiger Woods documentary comes out part one on Sunday on HBO. And apparently, I've read a lot about this. Apparently, it's fantastic. And apparently, it's... Tiger Woods' dad comes off as an abominable person.
What, by browbeating his kid into playing golf?
I mean...
Come on.
In having children, it's almost amazing.
Putting him on the Merv Griffin show when he was five?
He was two.
Two? Was it two?
It is amazing that he was able to do that. That he had the willpower and the wherewithal, Tiger Woods' dad, to just sit there and... I mean, and they have quotes from him from when he was making speeches... Because it wasn't about golf. He's like, this, my son will transcend like sport. He will heal the world. Like he thought of his son as a Jesus-like figure and raised him in that fashion. So, and looking back, Tiger wasn't even doing anything that bad. He didn't do anything bad. He just cheated on his wife, which is who cares? So does everyone else. So, I mean, every famous person.
The astounding amount. That was what was so fascinating about it, the sheer amount of
women. The fact that it was Tiger Woods, but if you look back, I mean, he didn't do anything to hurt anybody. I mean, he just had sex with chicks, consensually, sometimes for money. And, I mean, if they want to have sex for money, who are we to say not to have sex for money? You know? So, and he had the sex with the one porn chick that you gave a browbeating to, Rich.
Well, because like, she wanted money from him. I'm like, why?
Yeah, because they had sex.
I said, she was going to have, she got Gloria Steinem. Is that the one?
Allred, I thought. No?
Gloria Allred. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Gloria Allred. Which is always a one way ticket to.
As soon as that name pops up, you're like, all right.
She was going to have this press conference where she was going to spill all. And I'm like, all right. Well, the world knows that he was unfaithful at this point. Like, you're kind of. Now, the first one got a huge payday because I forget what her name was.
Hot.
The really good looking one, because she got a payday because they thought that was going to end it. But once it was paid and more names came out, Tiger kind of wisely was like, I can't pay everyone. Here you go. And everyone tried to. That was so great when that one woman came out with Gloria Allred. And like she was going to demand, like, why are you having a press conference? He didn't do anything illegal.
And then the minute, because I always was jealous of Tiger Woods because he was the first guy my age to be so much better than me publicly. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, usually when you're around, you know, 20, no one's doing anything worth a while. And then when I found out he banged the Birkins waitress, I said, we could be friends. That's a good man. He just was eating at a Perkins and said, all right, let's go. It's better than being alone.
Oh, that was the grossest story and the dumpster and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just like.
It's not gross. It was wild.
No, there was parts of it that were gross.
Oh, yeah, like her products and everything. Yeah,
dude, it was a gross story.
Yeah, but, I mean, it was just wild lust. I mean, him and the Perkins waitress. A, he was eating at a Perkins, which who knows what that's like inside. And B, he just was like, I can have sex with anyone I want. And he's just like, Perkins waitress. She's like, yeah, I'll have consensual sex with you. And he said, why not? You just, that's the way. Rachel, you could tell, by the way, was the hot prostitute.
She was the good one who got paid. Yep. Yes. She was the good looking one that got paid.
And then it opened up the world of high price escorts, which doesn't seem like a bad gig. Fly to Europe and stay at a Four Seasons and get wined and dined while you have sex with some attractive athlete. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like the worst job in the world. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old Stackarooski?
Well, the Texans can't get out of their own way when superstars blow $26 million. And did rock and roll kill the Steelers?
Ow!
You're not far off.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
Stupid Instagram.
Tom.
I hate Instagram.
By the way, that goes more towards the bromance of Byron Leftwich and Brady. Brady, when he first showed up, was supposed to walk into Leftwich's house. You know what I'm saying?
And that was the guy.
That's the guy.
Whose house he accidentally walked into, and he goes, hey,
Tom.
There. Yep. He was just enamored. Couldn't believe it. I forgot that was the Byron Leftwich story.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's going on with Instagram?
It won't fit the popsicles thing. Like, I can't get the whole popsicles thing to fit.
You got to make it more into a square shape.
I mean, this is BS.
Just retake the photo.
I don't want to retake the photo.
Can you wait till after the show?
No.
Oh.
Because now it's something that's got to happen.
Because I want to see it now. No, I want to see it.
He's taking the picture as we speak.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, there's a story that's been brewing over the... Actually, since this weekend, it's been getting worse and worse and worse. Now, on the heels that the Patriots won't have to get another front office guy jumping ship because they locked up Dave Ziegler. I don't know how good he is, but he's going to take over a role similar to Nick Caserio's. There is more news about how Nick landed the job in Houston that just makes the Texans look even worse than before, if that can be imagined. So it's being reported that the team hired this consulting firm. We've talked about this to research who they should hire as a GM. By the way, the name of the research firm, Corn Ferry with a K.
That's right.
Those kick-ass crews. But apparently.
Cal McNair, yep.
Well, that firm recommended Pittsburgh Steelers Vice President of Football Operations, Omar Khan, with Caserio being nowhere on the list. And then according to reports, Omar Khan actually had been offered the job and was in the middle of negotiating a contract. And then guess what? And guess who? Jack Easterby, pulls a rabbit out of his ass and convinced Cal McNair, the owner, to hire Nick Caserio. This is the middle of Omar Khan negotiating his contract, which he had agreed to. And worst of all of that apparently pissed off Deshaun Watson so much, of course, seeing that he was promised to have some input on the GM hire. Now, according to Adam Schefter, he said that after Houston traded DeAndre Hopkins last offseason, Deshaun Watson's anger level is at a 2. This time, it's at a 10. And now reports are that Watson is so pissed, he has talked to teammates about possibly requesting a trade. They said that this is, I think Chris Mortensen said, reports are that Deshaun Watson's unhappiness with the Texans are accurate, and sources close to him say he is still angry about the team's insensitivity to social justice, including their hiring practices after the franchise failed to interview Eric Bieniemy this past week. That's now, right. I guess that there's talk that Watson could play hardball with the Texans about a trade. You know, he's got that new $156 million contract with a no-trade clause, but insiders are saying that he would consider the Miami Dolphins, in which Tua Tagovailoa would come over here, over to the Texans, with additional compensation that would go to Houston. Wow.
Nick Caserio would be friggin' stupid if he made that trade.
Yeah. Well,
I don't care what kind of considerations you get. If you trade Deshaun Watson, who is the best, if one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a 4-win team, and you trade him for Tua, and whatever draft picks you get, there are no guarantees. Number or whatever three. First, there are no guarantees the quarterback you get is going to be as good
what
as
what if they gave you Tua in the 2-1s?
I still wouldn't do it. I still
you
wouldn't
mean
do
mean
it.
The 2 first-rounders? Well, that's nope. that's at least what they're going to have to
get. I still wouldn't do it.
What if they gave you Tua in their draft?
Well, I would want next year's first round, too.
That's 3 number-1s.
Yep, I want 3 number-1s.
I'd start listing, but
and Tua, which is the top 5 pick.
Yeah, I don't care about. I don't think he's very good. I don't think he's
good either.
So you're trading for a quarterback who is not half as good as the quarterback you're leaving. And what have we said repeatedly on this show? You have to find a franchise quarterback and then build around him. Houston has that.
They're in,
but he might not want to play for him.
And that's my point. You got to kiss his ass, is what you have
hear
to
me
do.
Out. They're in salary cap hell. This is a really bad job. That's why Caldwell's going to take it. Caldwell's a good coach, but not a great coach, but a good coach.
He's fine.
But better than fine. What if, 9-7 for Detroit looks really good
That's
now.
True. In retrospect, you're right.
So, but I have a ton of holes to fill. I am in salary cap hell. I jettison that contract, and I get back. Say they go, we'll give you the 2 first-rounders this year, Tua and 2 second-rounders.
It may be a decade before you find a quarterback that is good as the one you're trading away.
A decade. It could be the lifespan. A lifespan of a fan.
Whatever the case may be.
Look at the Jets. Jets have not had a good quarterback in my lifetime.
Fine. I mean, you're making my point for me. Houston has the guy. The foundation to build around. And now you're telling me you're going to trade him on top of the bad season and all the bad trades you just made?
He may not want to play for the Texans.
My point is, and I feel really bad for Nick Caserio, the guy that Watson wanted nothing to do
million.
With. You have to kiss his ass. You have to bring in Eric Bieniemy. You have to do whatever this kid wants.
Well, Bieniemy's not going to take the job.
Well, fine. But you have to
Falcons. I heard he's going
to. You have to kiss. You have to kiss his ass as much as possible. Make him as happy as you want because you got the lottery ticket. Well, remember when he was drafted? No one was sure he was going to be good, but he is. You keep him. You do everything you can to keep him and make him happy. Well, now Bieniemy, that you have new leadership.
Bieniemy wants the Jets job, but the Jets are.
It's going to be Peterson
or Saleh.
Who they're bringing in for a second interview, apparently.
Yes.
He's their first finalist.
Yes.
So how does Peterson not have a job now? Like, I thought the second he got fired, I thought that there was going to be... Well, I mean, didn't Mike McCarthy... No, it was Mike McCarthy. Who am I thinking of who got let go? And I don't know. I just kind of figured that there would already be talk that somebody would covet this guy. And there would already... I mean, how long do they have to wait until they can speak with him? He's fired.
I can talk to him right away, right?
Yeah, that's what
he's
I thought.
Of a job.
Oh, yeah, you can talk to him right away.
Joe Douglas won a Super Bowl with him in Philadelphia. I mean, it's too easy.
Why can't they do this now? Because if I'm any of these teams, I want him.
Because, well, it's due diligence, and, there's a lot of good candidates out there.
They've already interviewed 7, 8, 9 guys.
They've interviewed 9 people, and now it's time for the second. Now they've trimmed the – I'm sure they'll interview Peterson, but they've trimmed the list down to, 4. and they'll go from there.
It just makes more sense if you've already worked with this guy for 3 years, and I understand that Douglas wasn't the guy in charge.
What if you're completely blown away by a guy?
Well, that's what's going to have to happen.
Jets are going to bring in Jason Garrett. That's who it's going to be.
That's right.
That's the guy. I feel it in my bones. Yeah. It's going to be the most Jets move ever.
Always
Jason Garrett, coach of the 2021
year. There's always a redhead. Yep.
Another retread.
There's always a redhead.
There's always a
mystery redhead.
That's right.
Yeah, Jason Garrett runs the board sometimes overnight. That explains all the pictures he has with celebrities.
Jason Garrett always here rubbing elbows with Bill Belichick. Like, they're best buddies. Yeah. Like, you'll see them all around the island just palling around. I guess he's got a place here, too, and they have become – I don't know if there's, like, a coach that he's better close friends with, that hangs out with more, like a head coach or ex-head coach – more than Jason Garrett, to be quite honest.
I know. I can only imagine how the fun times to be had. Everyone with their friends. Everyone hanging out with friends all the time. If you're Bill Belichick and you're that age, what do you think a friend consists of with your work schedule? How many times do you think you see him? Once a year?
Yeah. I mean, he and Nick Saban are best buds. I'm sure they see each other,
once every
2 years?
Yeah, at the Senior Bowl or something?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, everyone, enjoy the asses. If it interests you, you can listen to the Manish Mehta interview. You can get the link at Toucher and Rich on Twitter. If you're interested in my kick-ass Dan Patrick popsicle sign that I've lusted after for many years, you can look at that at Fred Toucher on Instagram. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Shapely buttocks are the bee's knees. Bye.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.